You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
This morning I'm starting a new series that I will travel through for the rest of the year. A series that God put on my heart over Christmas. I thought I'd be doing prayer and fasting, and I'd been studying that and looking at that. But as I moved into January, I felt very, very strongly that God wanted me to take the subject of Christians at war. Subject that's not new to us as a church. In fact, much of the material that I use has come from notes that I received in Bible college in 1975, thanks to Pastor Hal. And I honour him as my father, I honour him as my mentor, I honour him for the input he's had in my life, and just for this incredible subject that he brought to us in Bible college, but also to our church. And our church has been renowned and known over the years for a warring church, a church that has stood in the gap for our community. Chris and a group of people pray every Friday in spiritual warfare for our community, for us as a church, for many things that they pray and break through in that we see the benefit of 6 or 7 months down the tube. And so I will be going through Christians at War. I will be looking at that. I will be breaking it down. The Bible college notes that I had, I have transformed into sermons so that we can start to look at things in a light that we can apply. And so it'll be simple. It'll be very biblically based. There'll be an awful lot of scripture because I want you to hear the Word of God. I want you to understand that it is a subject that is so often neglected in our community, in our churches. It won't be entertaining, I promise you that. It won't be light, I promise you that. But I do want you to hear the word. I want you to hear the word because I do know that so many people do not understand the nature of war that we are in as Christians. And as we are concentrating at night on the mission of the Holy Spirit, I know that these two subjects will dovetail together in an amazing way. For God wants us to do his works. And to do his works, not only have we been empowered to through the Holy Spirit, but we will have opposition. And so we need to understand that, one, we are at war. Two, that we have been given weapons, armor, etc., to be able to fight this war. You know, I've often heard people say it's negative to speak of the enemy. That's a really great ploy of the enemy. I've often heard people say they don't even believe in Satan. You know, that's just such an incredibly great strength that the enemy has. You imagine going to war and the enemy saying, "I'm not here, I've gone home." We would just whatever. And there's so many Christians that do not believe that they are at war, that do not understand the enemy, do not even believe sometimes in the enemy. But the Bible doesn't agree with that. The Bible says that we must know our enemy. It is good, I think, to speak of his cunning craftiness, or as Ephesians 6 says, his wiles. I'll be using a lot of the King James because the words in the King James are so rich in this subject. The word wiles means cunning craftiness or strategies. It gives you an idea of what he's all about. It also tells us in the Bible of Satan's absolute defeat by the Lord Jesus. You know, if we understand and know our enemy, and if we understand and know how he works, and we put into practice the things that the Bible tells us, then we're going to find that when we do face battles, we will see victory quickly. There's a great story out of a book called The Mossad that I read long years ago. And it talks about the Mossad in the 1967 war. You know, we hear of ASIO, we hear of the CIA, the FBI, we hear of the KGB. We know of all of these different intelligence groups. But I don't think anybody understands that the Mossad is probably the most feared intelligence group in across the whole world. The Mossad were so good at what they did that they infiltrated Syria and they placed a Mossad agent as vice president of Syria. They got him that high up to the point that that Mossad agent knew where every missile shot was, where every tank was going to be, where all the planes were going to fly. And he filtered that information back to the Israeli army. And as soon as that six-day war started in 1967, they were able to fire their missiles right to where the enemy's placements were. You know, they knew their enemy. They understood their enemy. They researched their enemy to the point that it was only a six-day war. And that is a miracle in itself. So we must know our enemy. And the Bible, as I said, backs me up on that because it has an awful lot to say about our enemy, about being prepared, about being alert. Ignorance is not bliss when it comes to this subject. In fact, the Bible says that we are not ignorant of his devices. Thanks, Luke. Now you're going to have to follow me through on scriptures now, okay? 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, to keep Satan from getting the advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his wiles and his intentions, his cunning craftiness, his strategies. We are not ignorant of those things. Tomorrow the notes will be on the website. If you want to look at the scriptures again, if you want to download the notes, if you want to listen to it again, that's fine, but it'll be on the passage tomorrow. The rest of the scriptures you'll get on the screen as we go through. However, I think it's a good thing if you've got Bibles or iPads or whatever it might be to look at the scriptures as we go. Start to open them up, start to look at those things. The first thing I want to do this morning is establish the fact from scripture that we are, as Christians, at war. So let's look at that. Let's look at the fact that we as Christians are at war. Let's open up some scriptures and see what the Bible says about we being at war. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we do not wrestle. Now when you see a word like wrestle, that means fight. That means that we're in for a little bit of a barney. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. How often we look at things and we see we're having a struggle, flesh and blood. It looks like flesh and blood. Well, the Bible says that we're not wrestling flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. We are at war. Christians are at war. This scripture was written to us. A lot of these things I will unpack in more detail as we go through the series throughout the year. 2 Timothy 2, 3-4 says, endure suffering along with me. You know, how many times have you heard that suffering is not good? You know, as Christians, we will suffer. As Christians, we will be bloodied. As Christians, we will take some flesh wounds, as it were. That is because we are at war. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Soldiers go to war. Soldiers don't get tied up with the affairs of civilian life, for they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. You know, we're not to be a part of the world. We are of the world, but we're not to be a part of the world. We are called out, and in a couple of sessions' time, I'll look at the life of a soldier and the discipline and the discipleship, as we would call it, of a soldier's life. We are to endure suffering as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5, it says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means that they're not natural weapons. They're not guns. They're not knives. They're not slingshots, bows and arrows. But they are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. I once listened to Derek Prince say, what's a stronghold? And he said, a stronghold is anything that gets a stronghold on you. So if you have something that has a stronghold on you, it might be unforgiveness, as Chris talked about before. It might be bitterness, resentment. It might be any multitude of things. And it's got a stronghold on you. Then that's what the weapons that we have are for, to pull down those strongholds. Then it goes on, and in the King Amplified says, so in so much as we cast down imaginations, we cast down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, we bring every thought into captivity to this word. And you've heard my sermon, on does that thought bring forth life or death, the cross drawing as I give it. This is how we win. We cast down imaginations. Anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God is not of God. And we start to bring down strongholds, first of all, by winning the battle for our mind, by bringing our lives, our minds, into subjection to the Word of God. So I say, now that we have proven, and I hope that that's enough to prove that we are at war. But if you don't agree with me or you don't like what I've said, get out your own Bible and do your own digging and prove what I've said is wrong. So I'm saying, now that I have proven that a Christian walk is one from warfare, we need to understand that that warfare is from a base of victory. I love that thought. that is a base of victory. You know, if you've already won and you know you've already won, then you're not scared. The enemy can't cause fear. If you don't know you've won, read the back of the book. The back of the book tells you we've won. It tells you where the enemy really is going to rest and leave. It says 1 John 4:4 in the Amplified, "Little children, you are of God. You belong to him and have already defeated and overcome them." That is the agents of Antichrist. "Because he who lives in you is greater, is mightier than he that lives in the world." What a great scripture. Greater is he that lives in us than he that lives in the world. You know, when you know that you have power, when you have authority, when you have the mantle to do what you need to do, you walk with your shoulders out. You walk tall. You walk with strength. Greater is he that is in you. Then Luke 10:19. I love this scripture. I love this scripture because I've seen it work in my life, in my family's life. I've seen it work as I've prayed for many, many people. "Behold, I give you authority to trample." I love seeing him under my feet. In fact, at one stage in my children's life, there was that natural thing as kids get a little bit aware of what's around them, and the dark was there, etc., etc. I remember writing on one of the kids' shoes, "Underneath Satan." And I said, "You know, he's under your feet, and every time you walk, you're treading on him, squashing him into the ground." You know, they need to understand from an early age the victory they have. Because as they become more aware of the things around them, as they listen to the news, as they watch what's happening in this ugly world that we live, it's not hard for fear to come upon them. "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power, all the work of the enemy." I love that "all." Underline that "all." Squash around. Make that "all" stand out, because there's nothing that Satan can do that you don't have authority over him in. And then it says, "and nothing by any means shall hurt you." You know, one of the greatest trips, one of the greatest traps that Satan has in this area is putting into people's brains, if you start getting close to me, I'm going to touch your kids, or I'm going to touch your marriage, or I'm going to touch this, or I'm going to touch that. How many times I've heard people say, "You know, I started to stand against the enemy, I started to fight, and we had a car accident." You know, it's not the way it works. If we have authority and power, and nothing in any way shall harm us, then nothing in any way shall harm us. And you'll see in a minute why I say what I say. Our base of victory is all due to the fact that Christ was victorious over death and Satan. I say that again because that's the truth. Our victory is all due to the fact that Christ was victorious over death and over Satan. 1 John 3:8. The reason the Son of God was made manifest, made visible, was to undo, to destroy, to loosen, dissolve the works of the devil. And he has done that. And the only way that Satan can win against us as Christians is to deceive us. Again, you probably hear this scripture nearly every time I speak. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, to kill and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and have it in abundance, to the full, to it overflows. That first life, I believe, is eternal life. He can't rob us of eternal life. But what he can do is he can rob us of abundant life. He can make life miserable. But he can only do that by stealing. You see, we sometimes rush over scripture and don't look at the words. To steal something actually indicates and tells us that it's already ours. I can't go and steal money out of my purse. Wallet. It's pink. I can't go and steal my own car. I can't break into my home and steal my television, because they belong to me. So that indicates that scripture that Satan is stealing something that already belongs to us. Hey, Mike, you got any money? No, just, I don't need that. Don't worry, I'll just have the whole lot. That's okay. Can I borrow your glasses? Thanks. Oh, that's a lovely iPad. Thank you. Oh, thank you. That's beautiful. Gee, that's a mini one. That's white. Gee, thanks. What have I done? I have stolen. How did I do it? By deceit. Handsome, good-looking, trustworthy, honest. No guile in me. See, the Bible says that Satan is an angel of light. Oh, so often we don't even see him around. By thy fruit you shall know him. Now, I have stolen these things, and trusting Christians have just given them up. If they want them back, what have they got to do? Can I have them back? No. I suggest if they want them back, they should come and get them back, don't you? I don't know why you guys are clapping. I don't know why you're clapping at all. I've got them. They're mine. You see, you might have to run. You might have to chase him. You might have to exercise a bit of authority. Thank you so much for being a part of that demonstration. Satan does steal because we let him. Because we're sometimes so dumb and so trusting as Christians that we think that we don't have to. But God says we're at war and we have a battle and we have to fight, and you will have to get bloodied to do it. Don't sit back and think the pastor's going to do it. It's your life and you fight for it. They're your children. You fight for them. It's your wife, your husband. You fight for them. It's time to stand up. It's time to start to act as soldiers and use the authority that God has given to us. In 1 Peter 5, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like... I love it that he walks around. He walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That word devour actually means to whittle away slowly. It's like getting a stick and a pocket knife and slowly whittling it away. He doesn't do it in one bang. He does it little by little by little. And we need to be sober. We need to be vigilant. We need to understand. We need to recognize. We need to be open to recognizing that he is around. Now, obviously, we can't blame everything on Satan. I'm aware of that. But when in doubt, do. That's what I reckon. Okay? He's not a nice guy. So, you know, it's worth him getting it even if he doesn't deserve it. As we finish this section, let's understand it's because we have the victory in the spiritual realm that we can enjoy victory in the natural realm. It's because we have the victory in the spiritual realm that we have life to the full, as John 10:10 says. If you haven't got life to the full right now, if you haven't got abundant life, it's not overflowing, then I guarantee you, because of that scripture, that there's a robber in the midst and he's stealing from you. So having now established that Christians are at war, having now established the position from which we fight, let's learn a little bit about our enemy. Let's understand who he is, how he works, what his names are. I think Matt drank out of that one. Don't want to get son-in-law germs. Satan and his kingdom of darkness are made up of demonic hordes. And again, we hate these words. He hates us talking about him like this because it exposes him. Light casts out darkness. Let's use the words as they really are. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For," and this is the Amplified, we read it a minute ago, "For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against despotisms, against powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere." You know, that tells it as it really is. That's who we are wrestling. That's our enemy. Matthew 12:24 says, "But the Pharisees, hearing it, said, 'This man drives out demons only by and with the help of Beelzebub, the prince of demons.'" So we understand that the Bible talks about demons. We understand that sinners are under the dominion of Satan. It says, Acts 26, "To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. I'm going to talk about it in a minute, but just understand that if you are not a Christian, those out there that aren't Christians belong to Satan, for he is the god of this world. But as Christians, we now walk in the victory that Christ has won for us. And as we said a minute ago, we have been given power and authority over all the works of darkness, and nothing in any way shall harm us. So we have come out of the world under Satan's dominion and into God's kingdom, a part of this world, but not of the world. And it's from that that we exercise our authority. It's from that that we say, Satan, you have no authority over me because the blood of the Lord Jesus covers me, overshadows me, as we hear about so often in communion. How was Satan, or who created Satan? Satan, the Bible says, was created by God. Isaiah 45:7 says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace, I create evil. I am the Lord who does all these things. Now, we had this discussion at our ministers' gathering on Thursday, and I'm not going to spend time on it because it just goes on and on and on. You should have heard us talking about it. Let's just understand that God created Satan. He is the creator of all things. Colossians 1 says that. By him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. Satan, originally created, was the minister of music, yet he fell because evil desires entered into him. He wasn't created to be evil. The desire took place and he allowed it to come into his life. Satan has limitations. He's not like God. He's not omnipotent. He doesn't have unlimited power. He's not omnipresent. He's not everywhere at once. He's not omniscient. He's not all-knowing. He is not God. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. We sang it a minute ago. Like Jesus, Satan has many names in the Bible that describe his character. Jesus' names in the Bible, bread, light, river of water, etc., etc., describe who he was, Alpha and Omega. There's 104 names of Jesus in the Bible that describe his nature and his character. Well, there's many that describe Satan's name. Let's have that scripture, that next slide, please, Luke. He's known as Lucifer, the shining one. He's known as Satan, our adversary, our opponent, our enemy. He's the devil. He's the accuser or the slanderer. You know, a slanderer is somebody who grabs a little bit of truth and twists it. Go back to Genesis and look at what Satan actually said to Adam and Eve in the garden. It's not what God said. It's a part of what God said. And he twisted the truth to deceive Eve. He's the serpent, signifying his subtlety and his wisdom. He's the dragon, symbolizing his vicious rage. He's Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. He is the prince of the power of the air. He is the god of this world, this age. He is the prince of this world, or cosmos, or world order. He is also known as our adversary, our tempter, our accuser, the wicked one, a roaring lion. So those names give us some understanding of who he is, and that he is a real being who is our enemy. He has evil hosts known as principalities or powers or demons or spirits or rulers of darkness of this world or powers of darkness or evil angels. As I said a minute ago, Satan does have authority in his realm, which is in God's kingdom. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, the god of this age, small g, small god, the god of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You know, I don't know about you, but I know of many, many, many who have fallen away, who have walked away, who have stopped following Christ as their Lord and Savior because they've allowed that veil, that blinding thing, to come across their eyes again. I have prayed for many, many people, and as we've prayed, we've seen a slit form in their eyes so they might start to see the light of the glorious gospel again. And as they start to see that light, and as they start to be drawn to that light, they start to break off the shackles that the enemy's put over them. We see around us that deception. You know, one of the things that Pastor Hal and I have often talked about is just the power of deception. You know, you see good men and women, people who have done amazing things for God, all of a sudden fall. How? Because of the deceit, because of the cunning craftiness, because of the strategies, because that veil comes upon them. Ephesians 2:2, it says, in which you were once, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. In John 14:30, it says, I no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. 1 John 5:19, we know positively that we are of God, and the whole world around us is under the power of the evil one. We can see that. You know, I don't know whether the world's worse or better than what it was, because it seems bad whatever way you look at it. We just need to know that we are not of the world, that we are of God. However, Christians living a separated life, walking with God, have authority. And I gave you that scripture. I'm going to give it to you again because I want you to understand that you have nothing to be fearful of. Behold, I've given you authority and power to trample on serpents and scorpions, and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power the enemy possesses, and nothing in any way shall harm you. Doesn't the Amplified make that rich? Physical, mental strength and ability over all the power the enemy possesses, and nothing in any way shall harm you. So let's talk quickly now about the weapons that God has given us. In 2 Corinthians 10, we read it before, that they're not carnal weapons. They're not weapons in the natural. They're not guns. They're not knives. They are spiritual weapons because we have a spiritual fight. What would be the point of being given natural weapons in God to fight a spiritual battle? God has given us spiritual weapons. Some of those weapons that God has given us is authority. Luke 10:19, behold, I give you power and authority. Authority is a great weapon. If you're out on the road today and a policeman drops out from behind a tree with a gun, a radar gun, and he has a uniform on and he goes, I guarantee most of you, if not all of you, would pull in. Why? Because that policeman has been given authority. And we recognize that authority. We understand that authority. And he is exercising that authority. Well, we've been given the same authority in the spiritual realm. We have the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. We have to know how to use that name. We have to understand the power in that name. We have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan hates the blood. And you know why? We've spoken so often around communion. So often we've talked about the blood. When we did the tabernacle with Pastor Hal last year, the blood was so powerful in that incredible analogy of our walk right now. We have been given the word, a two-edged sword, Hebrews 4:12. The word is quick and sharp and powerful, dividing between the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You look at that scripture, you unpack that scripture, and you find that there's no place that the word can't go in our life. An amazing spiritual word. Truth. You shall know the truth. This is the truth. Who is the truth? Jesus is the truth. Everything comes back to Jesus. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If Paul Davies was here right now, I'd tell you the story about you should know the truth. Because he did that once, but we won't do that right now. For those of you who remember, you'll understand. Pastor Oxy will understand. We have our testimony. Revelation says we overcame him, that is Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. How powerful it is to talk about what God does in our life, because they're our memorial stones. They're the things that nobody can take away. Yet often we don't want to share. Often we're too afraid to share. When we share our testimonies, when we share what God has done in our lives, when we confess what God has done in our lives, when we tell our families, our children, what God has done in our lives, what are we doing? We're building their faith up. We're giving them the same courage, the same strength that we've had. We're giving them hope that they can see victory in their lives as well. Praise, what we do on Sunday morning, what we do when we're out in our houses, having music on in our houses and praising God, praying in the Spirit, singing in the Spirit. What a fantastic tool that God has given us to fight the enemy. Prayer. Prayer is an amazing weapon that God has given us. No wonder Satan hates us praying. We're going to talk a lot about praying tonight. I encourage you to come and hear what the Word of God has to say as we talk about the mission of the Holy Spirit. We have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Again, we've talked about that over the last two Sunday nights, and we'll continue to talk about that. You know, we don't understand the power that God has released into us by sending the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. Power that we might do the works that God has called us to do. Yet so often we shy away from walking in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, asking God's grace upon us for a circumstance, for a situation, that we might see something broken that we can't do in the natural. And then we have this incredible word called resistance. In Ephesians it says, stand three times, having done all, stand. There are times in our lives when we've done everything we can possibly do, yet doesn't seem to be working. The Bible says, well, just stand. Resist the enemy and he will flee, the Bible says. Just stand. Don't give in. Don't say it's not working. You don't know what's happening. There was a great film called The Dam Busters. And in the Second World War, they worked out how these shock bombs work. And they trained a squadron of pilots to be able to dance these bombs along the water until they hit the wall. And then they sunk down to the bottom of the wall. And off they went. And, you know, it was said that there would be sometimes up to an hour that you would see nothing. And then slowly but surely a crack would form in the dam wall as that shock slowly penetrated through the depth of that wall, the thickness of that wall. And as one crack formed and water started to go through, that water eroded more and more and more until finally the dam was gone. Stand, resist the enemy and he shall... You know, I was going to go on and talk a little bit about the armor of God, but I think I might wait until next week for that or next time I speak. We're going to stop right there. Close your eyes if you wouldn't mind. Father, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you for the truth of your word today. And Lord, I just know right now in this room there are people who have been ignorant of the enemy's devices. But Lord God, they've had or are having things stolen from them. Lord, I pray right now that we would see the enemy roll back in their lives. If that's you right now, this is a call that God gave me this morning as I was praying about this subject, as I was just meditating on this morning. God, what is the word that you want me to finish in? What is the call that you would have me have? It was a call for people who have been ignorant of the enemy's devices, who have been deceived, who have allowed the enemy to steal from them. And they know that they are being robbed right now. That you have not got abundant life in your life. Now, I don't want you to come out the front. I just want you to stand where you are. Now, I know this is a tough call because there's no music. There's nowhere where you can hide. But this is, enemy, I'm standing against you this morning. Enemy, I am declaring that I am a Christian. Enemy, I am declaring that God is greater than you. If you know that you've had things in your life and they're being robbed, if you haven't not walking in abundant life right now, then you stand right where you are. Don't wait. Just stand quickly. Because you are allowing the enemy to rob you, to steal from you, to take which is rightfully yours. In fact, as it were, you are putting Jesus back on the cross. Let's stand. man, I want the musicians to finish with "Our God is greater, our God is stronger," but I don't want any music until I've prayed, please. Just you can come up now. Thank you, Lord. I'm just waiting because I know that God is still moving in people's lives. Thank you, Lord. You're not admitting failure. You're not admitting defeat. You're admitting today that your God is greater, your God is stronger, your God is more powerful, and you are declaring His victory in your lives today. You are this day exercising the authority that God has given you. Okay, everybody, I'd like everybody in this room right now who prays in tongues to pray in tongues. And I'm going to pray and I'm going to see the enemy broken off people's lives. I ask you to pray in tongues because praying in the Spirit is a tool that God has given us against the enemy. And that involves every one of you then to fight with me as we fight for our fellow brothers and sisters. Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the victory we have in your word. We thank you for the knowledge that there is a war that we're facing, and that we do have an enemy. But I thank you that not only have we had the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, but we have been given weapons, we have been given armor, we've been given the authority to actually fight against the enemy. And I exercise that authority right now with these people as they stand. I say to you, enemy, that you have deceived them for one last time. That even now light casts out darkness. Even now that veil is coming off their eyes. Even now that deceit, that lying, that robbing that has taken place in their lives is being broken. And I say to you now, you will restore unto them what you've taken away from them. God, touch them by your power. God, release them right now. Father, for those that have relationship issues, I pray that you would see breakthrough in their lives right now. For those, Lord God, that have lost family members, feel as though they've had something taken away from them, Lord God, I pray that there would be a returning, there'd be a restoring right now of everything that has been broken. For those, Lord God, that are struggling in their own personal walk, that have a personal stronghold, Lord God, right now we exercise that scripture. We cast down imaginations. We bring every thought into subjection to your word. We see your word. We see your name. We see Jesus even now being lifted high above those situations and circumstances. Father, let there be breakthrough in people's lives even now as we exercise, as we individually exercise. Place Satan under our feet this day in these circumstances and situations. Lord, have your way, I pray, in Jesus' lovely name. Amen.